Took a little warming up.
There we go.
Try again.
We're used to all sorts of technical issues. So, all right, as she said, thank you for the wonderful introduction. I'm Matthew Davies. I'm a third-year medical student at the University of Vermont. I'm the one that got the honor of speaking from our group. I want to take the opportunity first to thank all the rest of my colleagues that worked on this project, specifically Brenda Perkins and Colleen Weiss. They were our liaisons at the Chittenden East Supervisory Union, which is a collective group of about 8 or 9 different high schools in northern Vermont. And also Dr. Jan Carney, she was our Public Health Association liaison. So my disclosures, I have no relationships to disclose. I'm but a humble medical student at this part of my career. So what is a concussion? At a very basic level, it's a traumatic brain injury caused by biomechanical forces inflicted on the head or on the body, causing a change in the way that the brain functions. This function can either be confusion, it can be depression, it can just be simple inability to do simple tasks. Also, why do we care about concussions? We care because the risks of concussions are often underestimated, leading to inadequate management and premature return to play among athletes. This has been getting a lot of press time as of the most recent last couple of years. These risks should not be underestimated, specifically because of the early and late symptoms that you can get associated with concussions, specifically depression being a very major concern as a late symptom of concussion. And depression is specifically important in this group of students. To backtrack a little bit, the students that we mostly focused on were middle and high school students around the area. And this is particular interest because suicide is the number 3 leading cause of death among these individuals, third only to accidents and homicides, all of which are preventable. And if we can do a little bit of work to help with concussions and depression, it can go a long way. Our major objective was to evaluate the public awareness and knowledge of concussion and to assess barriers in proper management and education. And then if we found that there was interest in the area, we wanted to propose universal guidelines for our state. This is a good opportunity to thank all the wonderful athletes that had their parents take our survey and give us some good feedback. So our major method was we handed out an anonymous 14-question survey assessing knowledge and attitudes towards concussion, and it was designed after we reviewed literature on available diagnosis and management. The main method by which we administered this survey was online. There was an online survey, and we mass emailed the entire Chittenden East Supervisory Union, all of the parents and coaches and everybody affiliated. And we also, a few of my colleagues and I, attended a meeting on concussions that was held at Mount Mansfield University in northern Vermont, and we administered paper copies of the same online survey. To touch on a little bit of the demographics, about 3/4 of the people that took our survey were parents. And then we also had a good demographic if you combined nurses, physicians, and nurse practitioners together. We had the healthcare workers group. The majority of people that took our survey were female, 70%. We attributed this to the fact that moms care a little bit more about their kids than do the dads. Ouch. And the average age clustered mostly in the 46 to 65-year-old category. So major results, we had 446 responses, and the overwhelming majority wanted universal guidelines, 97%. It kind of speaks for itself. 61% of parents didn't feel well informed about concussions, whether this information was received by discussions they had with their primary care physicians or coaches. They just didn't feel well informed. And for me, the most interesting statistic that we got out of our research was that 23% of coaches and trainers responded that the risk of concussion is minimal if a player has the proper equipment. And to backtrack a little bit, prior to my foray into medical school, I coached 9th grade football for a for a little bit of time. And it's a little blurry, but this reminded me of a helmet warning that I read when I was a coach, and it highlighted the wrong portion of it, but I'll read a little bit. It says, contact in football may result in concussion and brain injury, which no helmet can prevent. And then it goes on to list symptoms and what you should do, and then the major warning that if you ignore their warning, it can lead to serious and fatal brain injury. So most people don't even realize that this warning is on football helmets. It basically says don't play football. And if you do, it tells you, it's spelled out there, and unfortunately this knowledge doesn't get addressed as much as it should. To continue with the results, we also wanted to assess the knowledge of whether or not people knew what the signs and symptoms of concussions were early or later on. The early signs included nausea, vomiting, confusion, visual changes, and sensitivity to light. And if you saw that, we purposely left out loss of consciousness, because most people normally think when you get a concussion, the major thing that they always show on TV is somebody gets hit in the head really hard and they're laying on the ground. That fortunately is not how it normally works out. Usually you just have more subtle symptoms, such as the ones that we listed. And the later signs included headache, general tiredness, memory loss, sensitivity to light, depression, which we already talked about a little bit, and neck pain. And what I found was a little bit interesting was that, in general, the healthcare workers, which included the physicians, the nurses, and nurse practitioners in our area, did about the same as everybody else that took our survey. So our major conclusions, that 97% of people wanted concussion guidelines. They're very desired in the Chittenden East Supervisory Union. And from that, we made the recommendations that coaches and athletes should have education at the start of each season, the seasons being fall, winter, and spring, that our guidelines around, there should be guidelines around suspected concussions based on the signs and symptoms that I mentioned previously, and there should also be return to play guidelines. And I'm pleased to say that this research was done last year, and as of this fall, the Chittenden East Supervisory Union has taken some of our recommendations to heart, and they started coach and athlete education at the beginning of the football season this year. They got everybody together and had a group talk. They also went a step farther and mailed each parent in the entire Chittenden East Supervisory Union a letter stating about concussions, the risks, the signs and symptoms to look out for in their kids, and how to talk to their kids about it, and when to go seek medical treatment. The return to play guidelines, our school, the University of Vermont's affiliated with Fletcher Allen Healthcare. It's a hospital right across the street from our school, and they have proposed a return to play guidelines. On the next slide, I have a link for everybody. And if I can leave you with anything to remember from our talk, it's that when in doubt, leave them out. If there's any suspicion of concussion among athletes, it's better to have them stay on the sidelines than to go back in and get a more serious injury. And there's where the complete Fletcher Allen guidelines can be found. Thank you all for coming.